Y'all notice that the irony of this passage of the gospel. Here comes Jesus into the area of the Gadarenes or Gerasenes, or maybe the two different places, or maybe they're the same place. And it's not necessarily Jewish territory, so maybe these are not Jews, but Gentiles. And there's these demoniacs that are so savage that nobody can go through that main road, which apparently leads close to the sea. It must have been a nice road to have, but no one could use it. And Jesus comes, and the demoniacs are like, you know, challenging him or kind of afraid of him, and he casts them out into the swine. And the road is free, and the demons are gone. Now the swine are dead too. And the town comes to Jesus, having heard what happened. And you would expect them to say, "Thank you. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. Could you stay with us? We've got a few other issues too. There's plumbing and other things too. You who can get rid of demons could solve all our issues. Please stay with us, Lord." Like the two apostles at Emmaus, "Stay with us, Lord." But that's not what they said, right? They said, "Could you go away? Because you just took away our worldly sustenance of pigs. We have no more bacon. And we're really ticked off now. Try eating eggs without bacon, Lord. It's not okay. You need to leave." In other words, like, they just preferred the worldly, earthly sustenance, and they pushed away the Son of God. And he didn't stop them. He didn't put his foot down and say, "What the heck, people? Let lightning strike you." He let them do it. The stubbornness and hardness of our hearts remains a mystery. But it's a mystery that sometimes God respects. More often than not, God respects it. And they were allowed to have their pigs, and, well, not have their pigs, but they didn't have their pigs. Oh, well, they were allowed to have their resentment. "God, I'm mad at you." And they distanced themselves from him. There's an interesting parallel, for what it's worth, the fact that God, Jesus, lets them have their way for now. Later on, you actually hear the rest of the story. I think in Mark's version, there's kind of a follow-up to it. But Isaac has to struggle. I'm sorry, Abraham is struggling because of Sarah's hardness of heart. And whether Sarah and Hagar, two people, I mean, in my head, I'm just, the fact that stubbornness of heart can do so much damage. And Abraham has to let go of Hagar. And it says Abraham is greatly distressed. How is she going to survive? What about my son through her? How are they going to survive? And he has to let go because of the stubbornness of heart of Sarah. There's just that tendency, our Lord sometimes allows things like that to happen. But he also says to Abraham, "I will take care of her." Sometimes our kids, right? That stubbornness, hardness of heart, and we can't reach them. And we're like, "Oh my gosh, I'm desperate. This is terrible. I'm despairing." But our Lord says, "I will take care of the situation. Trust me." And same as Abraham letting go of Hagar and trusting that the Lord would take care of her, and Jesus leaving the Gadarenes, trusting that his father must have another plan for now. We need to have that trust as well. So we do our part, we sow seeds, we invite, but sometimes the hardness of heart is going to win the day. But our Lord God wins the war, wins the final battle. We trust in that victory. We pray for that victory. We simply surrender ourselves to him. We ask that we would never hold on so tightly to worldly things and let our anxiety over those worldly things and our stubbornness of heart push God away. But even when we ourselves feel that other people's stubbornness might be impeding our efforts to bring them to the gospel, may we trust that God has a plan, a bigger plan, and follow that with great hope. May our Blessed Mother intercede for us as we live this Christian life, letting go of our pride and stubbornness of heart and embracing great trust in the Father. Amen. Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us.